Welcome to the Birds and the Bees and the Bills, where we will be talking about how and why millennials face so much scrutiny on all aspects of their lives. Today I have Professor Alex Howard here with us. He is a lecturer in the Communication Studies Department here at Pierce. Thank you for being with us here today.
Thank you. I'm excited. This is a great studio.
It's nice. Are you to excited meet you. To talk about millennials?
I am, yeah.
Yeah? Many of us have heard the statistics about more millennials living with their parents still, delaying marriage and house buying, taking too long to start a family, which is all delayed longer than any previous generation. So according to older generations, it's millennials' own fault for getting the wrong degree, spending more money than we make, or prioritizing the wrong things, which I'm sure you've heard before. So today I want to talk about these things and see if maybe millennials are to blame themselves or if society might just be a little too harsh on them. So just for starters, we were talking about the category of a millennial, which was 1992, you had said?
Well, so I'm going to just pull this up to make sure I have it right here. But it's, so the, and by the way, so when we talk about millennials, it's a bit of an arbitrary definition. It's just used for discussion and for analysis, but we have this kind of agreed upon categories of like the baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, and some people have different definitions for when millennials start. But I think the gold standards is the Pew organization, and their guidelines are that millennials were born between 1981 and 1996, which means that they would be between 22 and 37 years old. So according to this definition, people who are younger than her 21 or younger would be what they call post-millennials, and they haven't given that new upcoming generation a new label yet because they are just coming into adulthood, and I don't think there are agreed upon kind of generalizations for that upcoming generation yet. But for now, they call them post-millennials. That's according to the Pew research, so people between 22 and 37. But that's, we can maybe consider most students just, or most people just younger than that, I think, in a comparable generation too.
So I'm a little curious, just for starters, what would you consider like a main characteristic that a millennial has? Like when you hear millennials, what's the first thing you think about?
For me, one of the defining trait or characteristics of what makes somebody a millennial is the integration of technology in their lives and how that's impacted things. And there's many other things too. There are, you know, economic, environmental, social things that affect and impact them.
More aware of like what's around them than any other generations, you would say?
Yeah, and political and economic things that have impacted their development and upbringing. But technology is the big one for That's the first one that strikes me as being relevant for millennials in particular. And then post-millennials, that would be have a greater impact.
So I like that you brought up technology, because when I Googled millennials, the first thing that popped up was, oh, a millennial is super narcissistic. They're very full of themselves. And that comes along with technology when you have like Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, like they're always posting selfies.
Yeah.
Like, would you believe they're more narcissistic, or you think it's just a social media thing?
That's a good question. I'm sure there's research available which shows people's views of themselves and so forth. I mean, just having taught for 6 years in higher education now, like I see students posting pictures of themselves sometimes in class, before class, between classes. You know, sometimes maybe they can't tell you're looking, or maybe they don't care. But you can see them taking a picture of themselves and posting it. So that is, I think, that's surprising to me, because I would fall into the category of being, I think, one of the earlier millennials. And I guess many of my students would be later millennials or post-millennials. So I do notice that difference of, in some ways.
So with technology and with technology and everything being such a big part of their lives, do you think that is one of the reasons they're more aware of everything, since they basically have the news and everything on their handheld phones?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's what I would have thought. A couple of weeks ago, even I was asking students, if, because I was in a public speaking class, and I ask them to think about a recent example or something that they, or a memorable, powerful speech that they saw. And then I brought up, there was a viral thing online, a candidate for a Senate in Texas, Beto O'Rourke. He's all over the news. Anybody who's been following, I would think he comes up weekly in the news, if not more, as kind of a big deal. And none of the students in my class had heard of him. And I was really surprised by that. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's a case of information overload, because there's just so much coming at us online constantly. And I want, it would be good. I feel like I could learn from you that most of the consumption seems to be more social media matters. And maybe very, very minor kind of outrage stories, but beyond that, it seems as though there's so much coming at us that it's hard to really discern and to really dive deep into issues and to have a great understanding of everything, because there's just too much. And I see that, I think, in my students, and that's kind of what I sense.
Yeah, so like they're more aware of like what kind of has to do with them rather than like general.
I guess the stories that create the most attention and outrage and have the greatest reach online, and then some of the other ones I think get lost.
Mm-hmm. So as a professor, like, do you see them being focused more on something that will you come across many students of like mm-hmm. different age ranges. Is there anything that stands out that you recognize in a millennial other than like students that are older or younger?
Yeah, I get a pretty good variety of age groups. Sometimes in a public speaking class, I'll have students where everybody's 18, 19. Sometimes I'll have classes where it's non-traditional students, where it's many professionals, people who are in their 30s and beyond. And there are differences, I think. And again, I would go back to this theme of technology because, mm-hmm. you know, for example, writing papers on our phones.
Yeah, like students, it makes it so much easier for them,
yeah.
For us.
For me, it'd be unheard of to think about that. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised when I learned that students were doing that, because I was kind of, I think, guessing that, because you see grammar. I think this is something that I use this opportunity to complain about. Mm-hmm. Not putting in uppercase the letter I when mm-hmm. you write I think this.
Because they're so used to like their phones
like
capitalizing
texting.
It for them.
Yeah, so I'm seeing a lot of lowercase I's. And so I think that's part, I would guess that's largely a generational thing.
So with that being said, what do you think they prioritize, the wrong things, the right things? Like, let's say, like you said, like capitalizing the letter I, like it's something like that would just come naturally to somebody because it's important, you know, it's an assignment. Like, what do you think they put less time into that and more time into something else?
More time into that and more. Yeah, I do think there maybe might be less, because a lot of our interactions and conversations are via, you know, online messaging, you know, direct messaging, texting. It's a lot more conversational, which is nothing wrong with. It's mm-hmm. it's not, you know, lesser than, but in an academic sense, you know, grammar and you know, the structure of an essay and things like that, I think are getting lost because of the priorities being just more like conversation conveying what they're feeling, as opposed to the structure and the grammar. I do think there is a noticeable distinction between the generation. I think there is a generational divide there.
So would you say that society has shaped millennials into the way they are, or it's just like based on their upbringing?
Yeah, that's a good question too. I think there are definitely a lot of societal factors that are affecting this upcoming generation as a whole, but it is individual. I think one of the biggest factors is how integrated their lives are with technology. There are very young mm-hmm. people who don't spend a lot of time on technology. Maybe it's due to access. Maybe their family has shielded them from technology. Could be that they have just really strong family connections. Maybe they grew up playing sports all day and doing homework, so they didn't really have time to dive too deep into the tech, you know, the tech world and the digital world and social media. And other students, of course, some people are just really immersed in it. That's their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that those who didn't have as much technology and social media would maybe have a lot of different characteristics as somebody who was just immersed in it from like, let's say, you know, middle school or even earlier.
So it has to do, you think, also with their parents and how, like, what expectations their parents want them to meet?
Yeah, or could be just access too. You know, maybe somebody grows up in a household where there's not devices everywhere due to, you know, economic reasons, personal reasons.
So I was reading a statistic on millennials and how their parents have high expectations on them, now that we're talking about, like, their upbringing. So it said that millennials have a hard time saying no to their parents, which means they pack a lot on their plate, more than they can handle. Do you think it leads them into kind of self-diagnosing themselves, like, oh, I have anxiety, like, I have all this stress? Do you think it's because they take on too much of their plate? Or is it the stress that their parents have on them? Like, you have to do this. At your age, I had this. At your age, I did this.
That's another good one. So does the upcoming generation have more stress? Is it self-imposed or is it from
their parents? Like, do you think the stress is on their parents or they stress themselves out? Like, I have to do this because my parents say that when they were my age, I did this.
Yeah. Well, do a lot of young people feel pressure from their parents? I wonder if there's more pressure to obey the parents, or if there's less consideration towards their parents' views. That's interesting. I hadn't thought. I do think that there is more stress among a younger generation because of many of these things. In 2008, the huge recession that occurred, it was really a big impact. It had economic consequences, and, you know, delayed the earning potential of people that came up in that generation, and and it's just kind of now starting to really get stronger. But for example, I mean, it's like housing prices and all that, living expenses have gotten so astronomical that does add another barrier, educational expenses, like tuition, living expenses have gone up so much that I think it does create a lot more pressure. Coming from the parents, I can't speak to that. I'm actually not sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when I was reading about it, it said that, well, the website that I went up to, it said that more millennials are living with their parents than, you know, they did when they were our age. Mm-hmm. And it's more of like, oh, like, rent is expensive, housing is expensive, like, I can't do it on my own. So with that being said, millennials are staying more with their parents, so they kind of stress themselves out and are like, oh, like, I'm never going to leave my parents' house, which is crazy to me because parents, from what I was reading, parents, like, don't understand it. They're like, oh, well, it's not that bad. I did it. But they kind of don't think, like, oh, we have all this stress about, like, student loans and all this. Do you think with millennials that focus more on school, like, do you think that's kind of delaying them from, like, leaving the house too?
Yeah, that's a big factor too. I mean, if you're thinking about your education and taking classes, then that's going to impact how many hours you can work. And if you work less, if you work fewer hours, then you're able to afford less money for rent. And so the higher rates of attending university and going to school beyond high school, I think certainly affects people's ability to live on their own, because that's a great expense.
Yeah, I was reading into millennials, like, into, like, buying houses and renting houses, and I came across an article that said more millennials are focused on amenities than actually, like, a mortgage. So they'd rather, like, rent out a place with their friends and pay less than move out on their own and kind of start their own life, which is, like, delaying, like, them getting married and stuff like that. So would you think that that's why they're not getting married and, like, living on their own?
Yeah, I think marriage is, well, I think that it's societal and economic, for sure. I mean, it's more expensive. I think the expectations of a wedding, I think, are greater now and have a lot more costs associated with it, as opposed to decades before. I think a more simple, straightforward, there's less expectations with that. And certainly now with social media, we want to post and share all those moments, and so it's got to be a really grand occasion, and that's really expensive, along with the living costs too. I mean, here we're in the greater Los Angeles area. That's astronomical living expenses, which makes these decisions like buying a home and having a wedding, starting a family, unattainable, and certainly delayed for a lot of the upcoming generation. As I am actually, I'm even experiencing as somebody who is in the older range of the millennials. So yeah, that has a huge impact on our ability to start a life and to afford a lot of these things.
Do you think they're in a competition with themselves more than anything? Like, oh, I have to finish college before so-and-so. Like, I have to be at this point in my life and I'm not there yet. You think they're kind of racing against themselves based on the pressure that, like...
That's interesting. I wonder if... I would wonder the opposite, if there's less expectations of I need to graduate by this year, I need to graduate in 4 years, I need to, you know, buy a home by the time I'm 25, I need to get married by the time I'm 25, or anything like that. I would think that there's more flexibility and open-mindedness about these things in terms of delaying them further, because also of changing priorities, because I think we want to be more satisfied with our jobs, we want to have more options, and that may come at the expense of, you know, just getting a full-time job right away and sticking with it no matter what in order to afford a mortgage and to start a family. I think that kind of mentality is still a thing for many people, but not as much of a, it's not as prevalent.
Mm-hmm. So do you think, what do you think, like if you were to give a millennial advice on, like, in general, like what to do to get to where they want to be, what would you tell them? It's a very broad question,
yeah,
I know,
is.
But...
My favorite answer to this was, actually, I attended an event when I was graduating college by Cheech Marin.
Mm-hmm.
That's his name, right? Cheech Marin. He was talking about some art show, and he did a Q&A, and that was one thing I said, what would you say to graduating the seniors? And he just said, get a job. I guess find out what you like. As far as advice, yeah, pressure. I think we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and that is unnecessary. And that can prevent us from really putting all of our efforts into what we're doing right now in the moment, whether it's our studies, whether it's our current career. I think that trade schools are highly underrated, and other professional programs, that's just a huge window of opportunity that I don't think we're emphasizing enough, because especially, you know, if you want advice for a well-paying job, that's probably a good answer is consider all your options, including, you know, not the non-traditional four-year university track, perhaps a professional program, a trade school, or something along those lines, but to explore options and to focus on that right now, as opposed to putting too much pressure, and yeah. But I like get a job was very succinct and
easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
Do your students by any chance ever ask you like their opinion on like their, like, you know how students are like, oh, like, how did you think my paper was? How do you think? What do you say is like their biggest not fear, but like something that they are maybe like, do you think they're indecisive or kind of like hesitant to like branch out in an assignment, or like kind of, I don't know how to word it, I'm sorry. Like, do you see that they're confident in their work, or are they more like?
That's a good question. Well, I do sense more insecurity, perhaps. Maybe there is more pressure or self-expectations, because we do have access to seeing so much, you know, through social media and online, that creates this unrealistic view of how things should be, and maybe we put a lot of pressure on ourselves because of that. So I do sense a bit more uncertainty, a bit more insecurity, and just kind of general tension and anxiety about certain things, just because there's just so much going on and so much uncertainty, and everything's constantly online.
And
so that's my sense, just kind of more uncertainty and a little bit more insecurity.
Is there a topic in your psychology class that students are more interested than anything else, you would say? Like anything that grabs their attention more?
Okay, yeah. So I teach the communication courses. So the main class I teach is public speaking, in addition to argumentation and interpersonal and other communication classes. But public speaking is by far the class that I teach most often. And they give presentations based upon their interests. And I do see a pretty wide variety. A lot of environmental issues. There are classic topics that are often discussed. A lot about technology. A lot of students actually want to address the dangers of social media, which mm-hmm. which I find a little bit surprising. Well, like I said, it makes sense because social media and the internet and technology is affecting young people to a greater extent than any other generation. So it would make sense that a few of them, and there is some awareness of this. A lot of people understand. I mean, everybody I think knows that it's not healthy to be on your phone all day. And some students, I think, have the ability to say, wow, this is actually causing me harm or mm-hmm. people around me harm. And they address that as a potential concern and they discuss that in their work.
Yeah, I feel like technology is kind of like addictive to millennials. Like they know it's bad for them, but then they can't stay away from it at the same time.
Yeah, it's not kind of addictive. It is addictive.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's designed that way by the creators of these by the companies and by the creators of all the apps. You know, the notifications, the little red dot
mm-hmm.
That lights up your phone when somebody likes something, and the little heart pops up, and you click and you open up the app, and you see the little hearts. And you're like, oh, you feel this warm, fuzzy feeling. It's like playing a slot machine, and you just want to keep putting in another quarter and throwing the thing down to get another hit. And we feel that every time that we log in and we get more likes. And yeah, it's definitely a self-fulfilling thing.
Do you think it'll get better or worse?
Will it get better or worse?
Like in a sense of, like, do you think millennials will one day put their phone down and be like, you know, I'm done with this? Or you think it would have to be something drastic for it to happen?
I think it will get worse before it gets better. I think that it takes a lot for us. It takes some tangible, concrete damage or, you know, meltdown for people to realize, okay, this is not healthy and I need to break this habit, or I need to create some more space and distance between this device and myself. So yeah, I see it just taking over, and I wouldn't say it getting better or worse, because there are, of course, some positive attributes, like connecting with people in other countries, family members, keeping in touch, you know, having greater reach, reaching out to people, seeking support. We can do all these things through our devices. But the risk of, you know, isolating ourselves, constantly comparing ourselves to other people, and just sticking to ourselves, just being glued to our devices, I think that is going to be persistent and really... And really, I think that's just going to continue. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, I personally think that millennials, like, are kind of shaping, like, younger kids, too. Like, not necessarily in the millennial generation, but the fact that they're on social media all the time. They're kind of like, let's say, like, a millennial has a younger sibling. You know, they kind of mirror what the older sibling does. So the more they see, like, oh, well, my older sister, my older brother, like, is always on her phone. Like, I could always be on my phone. Like, even nowadays, like, kids have, like, learning devices on their iPads, like, for reading and everything. Like, they don't even pick up a book anymore. It's just, I pick up an iPad. I could play on it. I could learn on it. Like, it's just everything on technology.
Yeah, we're immersed in it. And parents, too. Here's another kind of theory I have that everybody's becoming a millennial. I mean, how many of you have parents or even grandparents that are constantly on Facebook or that just spend all day on their iPads? It's really common. And, of course, I think it's more prevalent in the younger generations, but there are certainly people, you know, of all ages that have that, you know, children complaining of their parents constantly on their devices. You can, if you go to a park, you see kids playing around, their parents might be on their phones. So yeah, it is really... really ubiquitous. You can't get away from it.
I like that you brought up that everyone's turning into a millennial, because it makes me think, like, do you think that millennials are what's the word? Do you think that it's not a millennial thing, it's just a modern thing, that everyone's just like, oh, it's because of the millennials that everybody's doing this?
I think it's societal. I mean, millennials, you know, didn't invent the internet or social media. Well, I would guess Mark Zuckerberg is probably a millennial, and I guess he was one of the main forces, one of the founding mm-hmm. people of social media in a way, I guess we could say. So it is, I guess it is a self-inflicted wound in a sense.
It could be.
But are millennials contributing to the issue? I think it's more of a societal, environmental thing. It's like the invention of the engine, you know. It's going to change things. You know, the car changed society and America and the economy and our lives in irreversible ways. And the same thing is happening with technology and our devices and certainly social media.
I guess we'll just have to see, right? So thank you for listening to The Birds, the Bees, and the Bills. Thank you for being here with us, Professor Alex Howard.
Yeah, thank you.
If you'd like to talk more about the issue, I'm here every Tuesday.
Great, thanks for having me.
I'm Arlina Rola, and you're listening to KPC Radio.